class the nectarian mellows of Sri Radha Kripa Katak sir. Mataji, I'll hand over this call to you. Please take over, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for this opportunity. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Nama Pankaja Nabhaya Nama Pankaja Maline Nama Pankaja Netraya Namaste Pankaja Angraye Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Omakyana Vivirandhasa Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Vithamyena Tasmai Shri Guravena Mahanamam Vishnu Padai Krishna Prishthaya Putali Srimati Radhanathswami Nidinamanamam Vishnu Padai Krishna Prishthaya Putali Srimati Jayapataka Swami Nidinamani Namacharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Padayini Gorakatha Thamadana Gragamatharini Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Putali Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nidinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisheshwanadi Pasachana Tyateshadharini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasi Gaura Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Wishing all of you a very happy Shri Pandava Nishala Ekadashi and wishing everyone a very successful fasting and by doing this fasting, may we be able to fulfill all our desires and may the Lord be pleased with our services and our seva, our austerities, and reciprocate with His love and compassion upon us and grant our prayers. So, today we will continue on with Sri Radha Kripa Kataksha Stava Raja. Last week we understood the Phalastuti, or what are the glories and what is the benefits of chanting this Radha Kripa Kataksha Stava Raja, the king of all glorification. So today we will go into the first verse of Sri Radha Kripa Kataksha. There are 12 verses that glorify Sri Radha Kripa Kataksha, and today we will cover the first and the second one.
Munindra Vrinda Vandite Triloka Shoka Harini Prasanna Vaktra Pankaje Nikunja Bho Vilasini Brajendra Bhanu Nandini Brajendra Shunu संगते कदा करिष्यसि हम कृपा कटाक्ष भाजनम्.
Translation. O goddess, worshipped by the kings of sages, O goddess who removed the sufferings of the three worlds, O goddess whose face is a blossoming lotus, O goddess who enjoy pastimes in the forest, O daughter of Maharaj Vrishabhanu, O companion of Raja's prince, when will you cast your merciful sidelong glance upon me? So this Radha Kripa Kataksha Stavaraja from the Urdhvam Naya Tantra, we know that this was spoken by Lord Shiva to Parvati Devi, and it was later compiled by the Goswamis, the Shara Goswamis, mainly headed by Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. So this first verse, Lord Shiva is very expertly deriding, you know, because normally, commonly, you know, worldly people, they sometimes say that the position of Srimati Radharani is very questionable. In their mundane ignorance, in their foolish, gross intelligence, they don't even understand the supreme, you know, and the most blessed position of Srimati Radharani, the purest relationship that exists in this entire creation is that of Srimati Radharani along with Sri Krishna. But they do not understand that, and they make various mundane comments. So to counteract all of that, the first thing that Lord Shiva, being the Param Vaishnava, he is glorifying Srimati Radharani, that she is a goddess who is worshipped by the kings of sages. So he's immediately establishing, the first thing that he's establishing is the supreme position of Srimati Radharani. Munindra Vrinda Vandite. That she, Vandite, she is worshipped, not just glorified. She is not just, you know, praised, but she is worshipped by munis and different Indra. Indra means not just, you know, the demigod named Indra, but in this context it means the kings. The kings and great sages worship Srimati Radharani. And what is her function? What is her main business is told by Lord Shiva, that she is Triloka Shoka Harini, that she is the one who removes the distress of all the three worlds. Such a compassionate mother. Only a mother can actually, you know, alleviate the sufferings and the distress of the child. When the child cries, he can only be pacified in the loving arms of the mother. So Srimati Radharani, being the Supreme Mother, she is the only one who is capable of removing the sufferings of all the three worlds. Triloka Shoka Harini. So how beautifully Lord Shiva is establishing the supreme position of Srimati Radharani right in the first line of Sri Radha Kripa Kataksha Stavaraja. That he's establishing without any doubt, no one should have any doubt in their mind that what is the position of Srimati Radharani. And then he goes on to explain her personality. Prasanna Vaktra Pankaje Nikunja Bhu Vilasini. Prasanna Vaktra Pankaje, that means that Prasanna, she's always very happy, she's always very bright, very shining, that, you know, nothing, you know, she can never be in a distressful condition. She's always very bright. She's always very happy and always very pleased. Prasanna. Vaktra. Vaktra means face, lotus face. And her lotus face is how? It is just like a pankaje. Means her face is like a lotus flower. Prasanna Vaktra Pankaje. Vaktra is her face is just like a lotus flower. So in this regard, Srila Rupa Goswami explained that how many a times Srimati Radharani's face is so beautiful and it is so enticing, just like actually a lotus flower. There is no exaggeration to this point. Because the bumblebees, they actually mistake the lotus face of Srimati Radharani to be a lotus flower, and they keep, you know, just intoxicatingly, they just circumambulate Srimati Radharani's lotus face. They come very near her face, almost to bite her, because they feel that, you know, this beautiful face is actually a lotus flower. And they just come to suck the nectar from that lotus flower. But it is actually the face of Srimati Radharani. So there is no exaggeration in saying this statement that Srimati Radharani's face is just like a lotus flower. She's so soft, so delicate, so beautiful that her face is just like a lotus flower that forget human beings, but even the bumblebee is mistaking her face to be a lotus flower. So there cannot be any mistake in calling her face a lotus flower. So Srimati Radharani's face is just like a lotus flower. This is one of her greatest qualities. And Nikunja Bhu Vilasini, that Srimati Radharani is actually not that she is just living in a big palace. Not that she is, you know, she's Vrajeshwari. She is the queen of Vrindavan. But the queen and the king, where do they stay? They stay in palaces. But Srimati Radharani, her dwelling place is the groves of Vrindavan, is the forest groves of Vrindavan. That is where she is staying. That is her dwelling place. So not a palace made of bricks and stones, but her dwelling place is the beautiful vines and the creepers of Sri Vrindavan Dham, the abode of Vrinda Devi, the abode of Tulasi Devi, the abode of beautiful vines and beautiful trees which bear beautiful flowers, beautiful fruits. Such a forest grove of Vrindavan is the dwelling place of Srimati Radharani. So she is wandering in the Nikunja Bhu Vilasini. In the forest groves of Sri Vrindavan Dham, Vilasini means Vilas. Vilas means to perform pastimes. So Vilasini means she is performing pastimes. Nikunja Bhu Vilasini. Brajendra Bhanu Nandini. Vraja Indra, which means, Vraja means Vrindavan, and Indra is the king. So who is Vrajendra? Vrajendra is none other than Krishna himself. He is the king of Vrindavan. And Srimati Radharani is Vrajeshwari. So Vrajendra and Vrajeshwari. So Bhanu Nandini, she is the beloved daughter of Maharaj Vrishabhanu. She is known as Vrishabhanu Nandini. She is the daughter, the most beloved daughter, the most beloved child of Maharaj Vrishabhanu and Mother Kirtida. So this is her identity, that she is the beloved of the king of Vraja, who is Krishna, and she is the most, you know, darling daughter of Maharaj Vrishabhanu. Again it is saying, Vrajendra Shuna Sangate. Vraja Indra means the king of Vrindavan. And who is the king of Vrindavan? Again it's Krishna. Sangate, she always associates Sangha. She always associates with the king of Vrindavan. And then Lord Shiva is begging. This last line is actually an appeal by Lord Shiva that Kada means when. When, O Srimati Radharani, Karishyasi Hamam. Karishyasi means when will you make. Iha. Iha means here, right now. Mam means myself. Kripa of mercy. When will you give me the mercy of what? Kataksha, the glance, the sidelong glance. And bhajanam means when will I be the recipient of your most merciful sidelong glance. So last time there was a question asked that why are we glorifying Srimati Radharani's sidelong glance? Why is Lord Shiva not glorifying that, oh Radharani, please cast your vision upon me? You know, he could have just said that, just look upon me or give me your direct vision. But here again, Lord Shiva, by just asking for the sidelong glance of Srimati Radharani, he is establishing another principle quality of Srimati Radharani, which is that she is the most chaste lady in the entire creation. Because a chaste lady actually never looks at anyone other than her beloved directly in the eye. And even when she's looking at Krishna, she actually looks at him first on the side glance only, because she's very shy. This is one of the greatest ornaments of a lady, is shyness, to be very modest, to be very chaste. These are ornaments of a lady. So Shiva, Lord Shiva, is actually establishing that Srimati Radharani is the chaste of all ladies. She is the chastest. So there's no comparison to the beautiful qualities that Srimati Radharani possesses. And it is said that whenever Srimati Radharani, she, you know, sidelong way when she looks at Krishna, that way also Krishna just becomes, you know, completely intoxicated, you know, and he becomes completely mesmerized. But one time, if Srimati Radharani, it is explained in Sri Krishnandika Kaumudi by Sri Kavi Karnapura, it is explained there that one time Srimati Radharani, actually let me say one more thing before, that it is explained that when Srimati Radharani comes to meet with Krishna and she looks at, say for example, her eyes fall on the lotus feet of Krishna, so that particular day she won't be able to see any other bodily limbs of Krishna other than that particular limb which she saw first. Because she gets so attracted to that object of Krishna's body that she thinks that this is so beautiful, this is so amazing, I can't just look at anything else. Even look at the lotus face of Krishna. She can't do that. So one time if she looks at the lotus feet, sometimes she just looks at one of the, you know, rings that Krishna is wearing on her, on his fingers, and she just starts glorifying and just her vision gets stuck to one point of Krishna's body. Wherever her vision falls, she just stays glued on to that particular limb of Krishna's body. If she's just looking at the adhara or the lips of Krishna, she just can't move her eyes from that position, you know, for that particular you know, pastime. That is how it is explained that Srimati Radharani, how she gets completely mesmerized by Krishna. He is Madana Mohana. He is the attractor. Mohana means one who attracts, one who entices. So Krishna is supposed to be enticing even Madana. Madana is Cupid. So Krishna, who entices even Cupid, is that is one of his names. That is Madana Mohana. So this is how it is explained that when Srimati Radharani looks at one of the limbs of Krishna, she just stays frozen at that particular limb of Krishna's body, transcendental body. Now what happens with Krishna? Let's try to understand that. That what I was saying in what is explained by Kavi Karnapura, that one time Srimati Radharani looked directly at Krishna's lotus eyes. She directly looked at him. And when she directly looked at him, Krishna saw her and he froze. He just froze at that moment. He could not blink his eyes. He could not move. You know, Krishna became so enticed and captivated by that vision of Srimati Radharani. He just couldn't move. So Srimati Radharani realized that she didn't want Krishna to just become a statue. She didn't want that. But Krishna, becoming so mesmerized by the direct glance of Srimati Radharani, just became like a statue. He just froze on the spot. So that is why Srimati Radharani is called as Madana Mohana Mohini. That she is the enticer of Madana Mohana. She is Mohini, Madana Mohana Mohini. That she can entice the one who can even entice Cupid. That is her position. This is how Srila Prabhupada explains that why we are worshipping Srimati Radharani, that why we say Hare before we chant Krishna. That this is the reason why, that she is the one who is capable of enticing, the one who entices the mind of everybody. That is Srimati Radharani's position. And that is the reason why we are actually asking and begging and appealing to Srimati Radharani to cast her sidelong glance upon us. Because when we look at someone with, you know, from the corner of our eye, it is said that it is the most loving glance. You know, when we truly love someone, we look at someone from the corner of our eye, you know, just to see how they are doing. You know, like not wanting them to notice, but we want to notice them, right? So therefore, we want to be that, you know, the receiver of that loving glance of Srimati Radharani. And that is why we are begging Srimati Radharani for that sidelong glance. So that is the reason why here Lord Shiva is glorifying Srimati Radharani's sidelong glance, Kripa Kataksha, her sidelong glance upon us. We'll move on to text 2.
Ashoka Vriksha Vallani Vitana Manda Asthite Pravala Vala Pallava Prabha Runangri Komale Varabhaya Suratkare Prabhu Tatam Padalaye Kada Karisha Sihamam Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam.
O Goddess, staying in a vine cottage by an Ashoka tree, O Goddess, whose delicate feet are as
splendid as red blossoms. O goddess whose hand grants fearlessness, O abode of transcendental opulences, when will you cast your merciful sidelong glance upon me? So this is a very, very beautiful verse. It's actually one of my most favorite ones, this second verse of Sri Radha Kripa Kataksha. And the reason why here Ashoka Vriksha, the tree Ashoka, is quoted. There are many reasons for this, primarily two. The first reason being Ashoka is a tree which is considered to be very, very, very auspicious. For the mere fact that the name suggests that it is capable of sucking away all shoka. It takes away all, all kinds of, inauspiciousness. It takes away all kinds of, negativity. It takes away all kinds of sorrow. It takes away all kinds of depression, all kinds of, negativity that is there in our life. So that is why Shoka means depression or sorrow. So Ashoka means the one who can grant happiness. The opposite of sorrow is happiness. So that is why Ashoka Vriksha is glorified here, that this tree is capable of granting us bliss. This tree is capable of granting us so much of happiness. Why? Because Srimati Radharani has taken shelter under this particular tree. So Srimati Radharani sits under an Ashoka tree. And why does she sit under an Ashoka tree? This Ashoka tree, the second reason why it is explained is that this Ashoka tree is very special. one time, Vishakha Sakhi, she was having a very joking conversation with Srimati Radharani. And she said to Srimati Radharani, "Hey Sakhi, just look at this most attractive flowering Ashoka tree. Quickly go and serve it. All the Brajavasis are going there to collect the piles of excellent red flowers that are blossoming all over this Ashoka tree." Now, Srimati Radharani immediately understood what is the internal meaning that Vishakha Devi was trying to say. Vishakha Sakhi was trying to say that, this is explained in Krishnamnika Kaumudi by Srila Kavi Karnapura. So he is explaining that the internal meaning of this particular statement by Vishakha Devi is that just look at this wonderful boy, Krishna, who is so beautifully decorated with such beautiful forest flowers. Just go and serve him, O Radhe. So that is the meaning of this particular verse, of this particular statement, that Vishakha Sakhi is actually comparing the Ashoka tree to be the personification of Krishna. And the flower blossoming, another meaning to it that explains here, is that the red, Ashoka tree actually blossoms with red flowers. And they come in bunches, bunches of red flowers. Very beautiful tree. So Sri Vishakha Devi is saying that this Ashoka tree is like Krishna, and you are actually blossoming on the body of Krishna in the form of these red flowers, O Radhe. So that is what is your position, that you're always on the body of Krishna. So that is why Srimati Radharani holds this particular tree to be very dear to her heart. In that sense, even the Tamal tree is the personification of Krishna's transcendental body. Because Tamal tree, it is the same color as Krishna's body, the trunk of the tree, the branches of the tree is the same color as Krishna's transcendental body, Shyama Varana. And the leaves, the fresh leaves that blossom on the tamal tree, if you feel it, they have a velvety touch, very soft velvety touch. And it is explained that if you want to know what is the softness of Krishna's body, just feel a tamal leaf, a freshly sprouted tamal leaf will tell you how soft Krishna's body is. So that is why even the tamal tree is considered to be the personification of Krishna. So that is only the personification of Krishna, but this Ashoka tree, on the other hand, it is not only the personification of Krishna, but it has Srimati Radharani blossoming on this tree in the form of these red flowers. So that is why Srimati Radharani holds this particular tree very dear to her heart, because it always reminds her of what Vishakha Sakhi told. So that is why she chose to reside under the, you know, and she makes a pavilion. You know, the Sakhis made a beautiful, like a forest grove, like a little mandapa, like a pavilion. Under this Ashoka tree, she resides there. So that is how Lord Shiva is glorifying Srimati Radharani, that Ashoka Vriksha Vallari Vitana Mandapa Sthite, that the mandapa is sthita, it is situated under this Ashoka tree. So two reasons why this Ashoka tree has been glorified here by Lord Shiva that we just understood. The next line goes on to say, Pravala Vala Pallava Prabharunanghri Komale, that Srimati Radharani is, you know, under this tree because there's excellent blossoming flowers in this Ashoka tree. And this, you know, this red blossoming flowers, Lord Shiva is taking it one more stage higher. He's saying that, yes, this red blossoming, you know, flowers on this Ashoka tree is the personification of Srimati Radharani blossoming on Krishna's body of the Ashoka tree, but it is also the Prabharunanghri Komali, that the delicate lotus feet of Srimati Radharani is just like the splendid of these red blossoms, these red flowers. So not just the personification of her whole body, but it is more specifically the lotus feet, the delicate lotus feet of Srimati Radharani that these red blossoms specify. So when we hear that Sri Radharani is, you know, topmost, she is worshipped by, you know, Munindra, by the kings of sages. Not just by Munindra, even Krishna himself is glorifying and worshipping the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. You know, there's a very famous painting that Srimati Radharani's lotus feet is held by Krishna and he is, you know, putting his lotus face on the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. And that is from the Gita Govinda line, Dehi Pada Pallavam Udharam. Krishna is telling Srimati Radharani, Jayadev Goswami in his Gita Govinda, he is glorifying that Sri Krishna is actually seeking shelter of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Dehi Pada Pallava Mudaram. Dehi means Krishna is telling Radharani that, hey Radhe, please give me what? Pada Pallavam Udaram. Hey Udar means most compassionate Radhe. You are very, very Udara. You are very generous. And in your generosity, you can actually give me what? The shelter of your lotus feet. Dehi Pada Pallavam Udharam. This is how Srila Jayadev Goswami in his Gita Govinda glorifies that, how even Krishna himself is worshipping the lotus feet, which is just like these red blossoms of Srimati Radharani. He is worshipping that. He is worshipping those lotus feet. It's very, very special that how Srimati Radharani, you know, how her position is established here by Lord Shiva, how that, you know, we should never ever think that, you know, never be deviated from how the Acharyas have been so careful in giving us what is the position of Srimati Radharani. So always we should remember this, that, you know, reason why we chant Srimati Radharani's name first in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We are seeking shelter. We chant Hare more number of times than Krishna. If you see in the Mahamantra, Hare is there more number of times than Krishna's name. The reason for that is that her position is so elevated, even than that of Krishna. Because it is only by her mercy that we will be able, she is the one who gives Krishna to us, only when she is pleased upon us. So one very beautiful pastime I would like to say, glorifying Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. Srimati Radharani, she is always very beautifully decorated. And she decorates herself not because she wants to look beautiful or not because she thinks that she is very beautiful, but she wants to decorate herself because she knows that Krishna is going to really look at her. And when Krishna sees the decoration on Srimati Radharani, he becomes most pleased. So therefore, you know, Srimati Radharani decorates herself. She allows the Sakhis to decorate her. So it is explained that Sudevi Sakhi, she is the most expert in making feet designs with the red dye known as Alta. Alta is a nice liquid red dye, and with a very beautiful, you know, fine peacock feather, the tip of the peacock feather, Sudevi Sakhi makes very beautiful and intricate designs on the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Just like how we do henna designs, so Sudevi Sakhi, with this red dye known as Alta, she would make very beautiful designs on the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. And she would decorate her lotus feet very, very beautifully with this particular red dye known as Alta. So when she decorated this particular day, Srimati Radharani was very beautifully adorned. You know, she had, you know, from her lotus feet, Sudevi Sakhi took great care in doing very intricate designs on Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. Then she adorned her lotus feet with three toe rings. And they were, you know, one was a blue sapphire, one was a red ruby, and one was a diamond. So they were so nicely glistening and shining. And then there was a very beautiful anklet that adorned her lotus feet. The anklet had pearls and rubies decked on them. And Srimati Radharani was wearing a very beautiful flowing blue color sari. And that sari had, you know, little red and gold embroidery flowers all over it. And she was wearing a red color blouse, which had small blue flowers, you know, embroidered on top of it. And she had a very, you know, silky, satiny kind of a veil that covered her hair. On her waist, she had a very thick, very nice gold belt, which had strands and loops of pearls around it, which came down to her thighs. And the belt was in such a way that it showed her slender waist. Srimati Radharani had adorned her neck with very beautiful, you know, necklaces and hanging down pearls, necklaces. She had her arms were decked with armlets, bracelets in her wrists, very beautiful kangans and bangles matching with her outfit. She had rings on her fingers.
Even her lotus hands was decorated with Alta by Sudevi Sakhi. Very beautiful designs done on that. And she was wearing very beautiful long earrings. When she would move her head from here to there, the earrings would come and almost kiss her lotus cheeks. So she was wearing nice long earrings matching with her outfit. And she had a very beautiful flower garland, you know, strung across her hair. And she had very nice pearl necklaces also adorning her hair. And the hair design was such that it was never done before. It was tied in a top knot, and then there was a plait that came on the side also. So it was both. There was a knot in the back, like a bun in the back, and there was, you know, her hair was coming in the front also. And her hair was decorated with nice, beautiful, sweet-smelling Malati and Keli Kadamba flowers. So the intoxicated bumblebees, you know, with the aroma of these flowers, they were always just coming around Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani's, you know, nose pin, she had a very beautiful nose pin, which was a little small pearl. And she had a gold ring that went around it. That was her nose ring. She had a very beautiful bindi on her forehead. And she was decorated with gopi dots all around her forehead. She was wearing a crown made with forest flowers. And finally, she was wearing a garland made with forest flowers. So this was the way Srimati Radharani was decked out. She was so beautifully decorated for a very special occasion. She was coming to meet with her most beloved Shyama Sundara. And when they were hurrying up, Srimati Radharani was hurrying up because she was getting late. So all the sakhis, they said, okay, let's go, Radhe, let's go. So when she was coming, she was running, she was holding her sari up, and the sakhis were helping her to run towards the forest grove, the designated forest grove, where Krishna was waiting for Srimati Radharani. When they reached the forest grove, before they reached the forest grove, Srimati Radharani came upon one tamarind tree. And that tamarind tree had just dropped one unripe tamarind. One ripe tamarind. And that ripe tamarind was fallen on the ground of Vrindavan. And Srimati Radharani mistakenly stepped on that tamarind. And as soon as she stepped on that tamarind actually, because of its acidic nature, it kind of spoiled the beautiful decoration of Alta on the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, because it was acidic, so you know that it kind of ate away from that Alta. So Srimati Radharani was very disappointed that, oh no, that, you know, my Sakhi took so much pain, Sudevi Sakhi took so much pain in decorating me like this for Krishna, and you, tamarind, you stepped on this, and then look what you have done. So therefore, in her merciful nature, she cursed the tamarind, that in my kingdom of Vrindavan, within the 84 course of Vraja Mandala, not a tamarind will ripe again. No tamarind will ripe again. So last time when I was saying this pastime, there were many questions asked. So then what happens to those tamarinds, you know? So it's, and why did Srimati Radharani curse the tamarind like this? Well, the reason why she cursed the tamarind is that there is, of course, you know, the tamarind, it is, you know, it is sour by nature, and it is very acidic. So Srimati Radharani, she just was, you know, feeling distressed that her design was spoiled. So there was no specific reason why she did what she did. But again, this goes on to say that within Braja Mandal, everything that happens, happens by the will of Srimati Radharani. So till today, actually, no tamarind ripes
in the Brajamandal area. They are, when they are, you know, still in the unripe stage, they just, you know, fall down from the tree, and, you know, they are sold in that way. They are taken care of in that way. But till today, no tamarind ripes in the entire Churasi coast of Brajamandal area. And again, this was the tamarind, you know, is also considered to be very, how should I say, fortunate, that it desired to take the dust of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. And when it desired to take the dust of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, it was actually very, very happy, you know, because Srimati Radharani stepped on that tamarind. It's very special mercy. And so in this way, there, we should not take this beyond, you know, what it says. The pastime kind of just, you know, goes this way, so we should take it just as it is. And then Srimati Radharani went on to meet with Sri Shyamasundara. And of course, Sudevi Sakhi was so expert that she immediately covered up that spot which was, you know, messed by that tamarind. She immediately fixed it, so Krishna did not, you know, even notice it. So this is how the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani has such potency that, you know, tamarinds are stopped from ripening in Brajamandal. You know, it's very sweet. It's very sweet pastime. Lord Shiva goes on to say, Varabhaya Surat Kare Prabhuta Sampadalaye, that the lotus hands of Srimati Radharani, Kare means the hand of Srimati Radharani, is Abhaya. Abhaya Pradan Karte Hai. Abhaya Pradan Karte Hai. So, Varabhaya. Vara means super excellent, you know. They're very, very, very potent. So this hand of Srimati Radharani, it grants complete fearlessness those who seek shelter of her lotus feet. So Srimati Radharani is granting fearlessness those who seek shelter at her lotus feet. So therefore we always see that her hand is in a blessing position. She is granting fearlessness. Abhaya Charanara Vindare, that anyone who takes shelter of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, and they are immediately granted fearlessness. And Prabhuta Sampadalaye, which means she is the abode of transcendental opulence. And when, oh when, will you cast your merciful sidelong glance upon me? So Lord Shiva is begging Srimati Radharani that, you know, we need to understand that this Stavaraja, this is not just a mere song, not a mere bhajan. You know, any of the bhajans, any of the ashtakams or any of these stavas that are there, these are actually prayers. These are appeals that are made to the different personalities. So this is a form of praying. So in a prayer, we just don't say, please give me this, please give me that, or, you know, varam dehi, rupam dehi, yasham dehi. That is how, you know, we pray when we pray to the devatas. You know, this is how we generally pray. We just go into the temple, we take out our wish list from our back pockets and say, okay, give me this, give me this, give me this. Fulfill my desire, you know. That's how we normally do. But that's not the way we should pray. Our acharyas are so merciful that they are spoon-feeding us how to pray. That we need to first glorify the personality. We need to first, you know, talk about their transcendental qualities, their opulences, their nature. We should glorify all of that. And then, once we glorify them, then we should put in our appeal that what is our desire. If you notice, any prayer, any ashtakam, it follows the same procedure. That first is glorification of the personality, and then is the appeal that please grant us this benediction.
that please cast your merciful sidelong glance upon me, O Radhe. So this is how we need to pray. And today being Pandava Nirjala Ekadashi, I just wanted to speak a little bit on that. The glory of Pandava Nirjala Ekadashi, we all know the pastime that how Bhimasena of the Pandavas, he one time told, the great sage Srila Vyasadeva that, everyone tells me that, I should do fasting on Ekadashi, but I'm Vrikodhara. I'm such a voracious eater. I can't do fasting. So you tell me one day in a year that I need to do that fast, that it will have the benefit of fasting for all the days. Tell me that. So then Vyasadeva thought about it and he gave him this particular Ekadashi. He said that if you perform this particular Ekadashi without even drinking water, not a single or eating anything, then you will get the benefit of rendering or performing Ekadashi for all the other Ekadashis that fall in the year. And Srila Prabhupada, he so sweetly explains that that was the exception given by Srila Vyasadeva to only Bhima. So we can't say that, okay, so Bhima did only one Ekadashi, it's okay for us to also do only one Ekadashi. That's not the case. But Srila Prabhupada said that if anybody has missed any Ekadashi, if anybody has not been able to follow, or by mistake, not purposely, but by mistake, if they have missed, performing any Ekadashi during the year, they should do Nirjal Ekadashi on this particular day, and that way their mistake can be rectified. So that is what is the benediction that Srila Prabhupada has given us. And therefore, on this day, we should focus on more, extra japa. We should do extra reading, extra listening. So as much as more we can do, that is the best. So with this, I will end here. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. If there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take that now.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, eternal pranam, glory to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. It's a very, very beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much. Mataji, that Ashoka tree, where we find India?
Yes, it is very prevalent in India. It is very widely found in India only, but, I'm not sure if you can see it here. I really don't know. But yes, in India, for sure, it is very prevalent, very, very prevalent.
It's a different strategy than banyan tree. Banyan tree and Ashoka tree is same or different?
No. Banyan tree is different. Ashoka tree is different. Banyan tree is huge, very, very huge. And they actually are, these banyan trees, their roots also come down. And, it's huge. Banyan trees are very, very big. But Ashoka tree is also big, but, banyan trees don't have any flowers in them. But Ashoka tree, as was explained, they have, bunches of red flowers that blossom on this tree.
Yeah.
You can Google it up. You can Google
it up.
You can see some images. But and you can see the way the red flowers are coming, It's like a round, beautiful round red flower, bunches of them, clusters of red flowers.
Oh,
and there are many more, trees which are falsely called as Ashoka tree. So don't get bewildered by those.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Mataji. I see you listening in the Google. And I like the point that how Radharani is, that the slides glance, other people, they don't notice, but
That is how she is glancing, so lovingly. She is watching, giving that mercy, asking from Radharani. That is the point and all the past time, Mataji. Thank you so much. If other devotees have any question or comment, they can go ahead. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you for the wonderful class, all the explanations, especially on the sidelong glances. So one question I have is, Srimati Radharani never looks straight at Krishna or anyone else, I'm thinking. But how about the Radha Tattva, you know, like other devis who are, you know, derived of Radharani, you know, like Lakshmi Devi, things like that. Do they also have the same quality, or is it they also don't look, only give sidelong glances?
It's not really mentioned very specifically, but it is definitely mentioned for Srimati Radharani. So I cannot say, I really cannot say what is the case with others, but Srimati Radharani is definitely a special one. So, all the other devis, they definitely come from their expansion of Srimati Radharani, no doubt about it, but they are, but Srimati Radharani's, thing is definitely glorified, So there is no, I have not come across any specific mention of anyone else other than Srimati Radharani about these qualities. Does that make sense?
Yes, Madhuri. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for the wonderful class, Madhuri.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. So I just sent a picture of the Ashoka tree in the group, so you can take a look.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for the class. Can you just repeat, please, the reason that you gave for why Radharani comes first? In the form of Hare and the Maha Mantra.
Why she comes first? Because she comes first because she is, her position is that she is the one who is most dear to Krishna, and she's the one who can give Krishna to us. So therefore, this Maha Mantra is an appeal to Srimati Radharani. We are begging Srimati Radharani's mercy. So therefore, the mother is considered to be more merciful than the father. Father is strict, but mother is compassionate. So therefore, we are appealing to Srimati Radharani first in the Maha Mantra. That is why we do that.
And is for that same reason that her name appears so many more times than Krishna? Or is there another reason?
No, that is the reason.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Koti koti dhanyavad pranam kalasudha mataji. Thank you very much. For every Saturday you are taking us in Sridham Vrindavan Dham. Yes, Mataji, we are not qualified to enter in Dham from childhood. That is, we are going Dham. But Mataji, it's really amazing how nicely you explain the Radharani's all the altars in hand and in the legs and all the Leelas, Mataji. We feel that Leela. Thank you very much for taking us in Sridham Vrindavan every Saturday. Dandvat Pranam, Koti Koti Dandvat Pranam to your Seva. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai ho.
Hare Krishna, Vrindavan Pika Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji. I have one question. Mataji, should we give water to Tulsi Maharani today? Is that like that?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes. When we water Tulsi Maharani, it's not that we are giving her water to drink. It is because we are watering her so that our Bhakti Lata also grows. When we water her, we say the mantra, Om Govinda Vallabham Devim Bhakta Chaitanya Karinim Snapo Ami Jagad Bhaktrim Vishnu Bhakti Pradayinim. So the reason why we water Tulsi Maharani is that for Vishnu Bhakti, to get Vishnu Bhakti. She is the one who gives us Vishnu Bhakti Pradayini. She gives us. Wo hame Vishnu Bhakti Pradan karti hai. So the reason why we water her is not because we are giving her water to drink, but we are watering our own Bhakti Lata Beej by rendering this service to Tulsi Maharani. So yes, we should water Tulsi Maharani.
Okay, Mataji. I heard in Dwadasa, this Ekadasi, we should not flog Tulsi Maharani.
Yes. Ekadasi, and actually it is said that on Dwadashi we should not pluck Tulasi leaves. So, but even one time in Mayapur what happened is we plucked Tulasi leaves on Ekadashi for Lord Narsingadev, and Pankajangri Prabhu told us that that particular day the Dwadashi had kind of, you know, sometimes what happens is the tithis overlap each other. So that day, the Dwadashi had also fallen on Ekadashi. So therefore, he told us that it is not recommended to pluck Tulasi leaves on Ekadashi also, on Dwadashi also. Better not to. Because we never know, you know, when the Dwadashi kind of overlaps on this tithi. So therefore, on both these days, it's better not to pluck Tulasi leaves. And he said that whatever Tulasi leaves you have to pluck, pluck it on the day before Ekadashi and preserve it. So that's what is best recommended.
Okay, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And Mataji, in Ekadashi, when we offer food to, normal food to Krishna, yes, but we should not, we can give to kids or we can eat tomorrow like that?
Yes, yes. You can offer, you know, regular rice dal sabji to Krishna, but yes, keep that separately, and you offer your Ekadashi prasad also separately. Don't mix the two. And then you honor the Ekadashi prasad, and then you can, you know, have the Dwadashi prasad, I mean, the grain prasad the next day.
Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. So what they do in Mayapur is that even in the deity kitchen, they make the sabjis that are Ekadashi, and they make rice and chapati. So they serve it, you know, in that way to Radha Madhava and to Narsingadev and Panchatattva. So the sabjis are all Ekadashi style, but they are offered with rice and chapati, like on every single day. Like that. So if devotees want the Mahaprasad, then they can eat only the sabjis that day, and the rice is, you know, preserved for the next day, like that.
Yes. Thank you so much, Mataji, for answering.
Thank you.
Hare
Krishna.
Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. As always, Vrinda Gopika Mataji said, thank you for taking us to Vrindavan every Saturday. Mataji, just now you said the mantra when we offer water to Tulasi. So can you send that mantra on the group so we can
send
the mantra every day? Thank you.
Yeah, sure. I'll send it. Any more questions?
Mataji? No, Mataji. Can you please sing Radha Krupa Kataksha? Please forgive me.
Okay.
we just sang the Radha Kripa Kataksha. You want me to sing again?
Thank you, Mataji. Yes, Mataji, one or two, please.
Okay. Ashoka Vriksha Vallari Vitana Manda Kasthite Pravala Vala Pallava Prabha Rurangri Komale Varabhaya Suratkare Prabhuta Sampadalaye Kadakarishya Sihamam Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam.
Hare Krishna. Jai Ho Gopinath Ki, Shri Shri Radha Kripa Kataksha Ki Jai, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you, all the devotees. We are our services to Her Grace Kalasada Mataji and all the devotees. And we also very grateful to the Pastor Indriya Vishnu.